You didn't tell me you were going to also record me singing. That's unfair. It's good to be with you this afternoon, and a pleasure to be able to be here on campus with you for a couple minutes. As I was thinking about this afternoon and being able to gather, one of the hardest things, at least I found for myself, is to try to think of what passage to use. I always work better when someone says, this is the passage you use. And probably it's the lack of creativity in me, or maybe my desire just to focus in on God's word as opposed to my mental thoughts. And since we're coming to Thanksgiving, I thought, well, let's look at a Thanksgiving section. And many options that we could choose from. But we've been, Scott has been helping us at Forth in our adult education classes. And Dr. Red has been helping us at Forth in our adult education classes. And we've been looking at the letter of Philippians. And so I thought we'd start with that, as we'd look at Philippians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, you can flip there. But, you know, Paul, as is the case, he starts many of his letters with praise to God for the church that he's writing, and specific a petition on their behalf. Just as a quick little summary of them, Romans 1:9, he says, without ceasing, I mention you. 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, I give thanks to my God always. Ephesians 1:16, I do not cease to give thanks for you. Colossians 1:3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for all of you. 2 Timothy 1:3, I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. And then in his letter to Philemon, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. And I think that's a great principle for us to learn, is that before we go speaking to the church about God, we should be speaking to God about the church. And I think that as ones who are moving towards a role and responsibility that we have as shepherds of God's flock, to be really honing in on that principle. Paul, in his letter here, he mentions Philippi, and then he instantly moves to record his thanksgiving for this church. The very thought of these Christian friends moves him to express gratitude to God. And at that point, I stop and I pause and I wonder, how do I do? When names of people that I haven't been in touch with for a while, brothers and sisters in Christ, are brought to my attention, you know, what is the first thought in my head? And is it too often a response to their personality, or maybe my experience with them? Or is it a mutual thanksgiving that I should have? And so I think this is, for me at least, it's been a teachable moment. Of course, Thanksgiving has filled the pages of this letter. So if you flip to chapter 4, verse 18, we read that Paul says this, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And so we see that from beginning to end, this letter really was intended to be read as a thank you. And I think that when the Philippians received the letter, they probably had in thought, you know, Paul really knows us. This wasn't just a sort of a form letter, but it contained, you know, the real reality of, I know you and I love you and I care for you, and that's how I write to you. We're in a technological age. You know, you're moving towards a role and an opportunity where you're, God willing, going to have a congregation that you love and care for, and how you send communications to them. How do we do that? We're fairly impersonal these days, aren't we? And yet, this was a very personal opportunity. I was telling Jeff, we had this morning we had our pastor's meeting, and one of the things we were just discussing was that week by week, our senior pastor goes through our bulletin, lists the names of our members. So there's a handful of 8 or 10 that are on our bulletin to be prayed for that week, and then we move on. And he writes a letter to them. And he said, you know, there's a couple names on here that I don't know. And I feel kind of weird that I'm sending them a letter that says we'd love to, you know, care for you and love that you're involved in our church. So I think we're going to be wrestling with this, how do we interact with people? How do we get to know each other? How do we care for each other? How do we make it real? Well, I wanted to look at the verses 3 through 11, and I know we won't get to all of it, but let me go ahead and read that and then pray for us in this. It says this, Paul writing, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let me go ahead and pray really quickly, and we'll look at these four areas of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father God, for who you are and for who you've made us to be in Christ, we give you thanks. And especially this day that you have made, we rejoice. Father, I praise you for the opportunity that you have given us to look intently into your word, to be encouraged in our faith. And I do pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You don't know me very well. A couple of you know me a little bit. But one of the things you could glean from today is that I like alliteration. Most of the reason I like alliteration is so that it's easier for me to remember. However, I can also get shackled by it because then I try to make everything alliterative. And it's a forceful condition, and it's a malady in some sense. But in looking at this section, and we're talking about Thanksgiving, I kind of was appreciative of J.B. Phillips and in his section on this. He split it up into sort of four areas that helped me sort of see it. He talked about the fellowship in the gospel, faithfulness in the gospel, friendship in the gospel, and fearlessness in the gospel. And I thought just we'll sort of hang our hat on that as kind of an outline as we're looking through this section. Paul begins this little section on Thanksgiving, and he shows that this is a mutual relationship. Clearly, Paul had every opportunity and right to sort of lord it over others for who he was and for who they were, but he doesn't do that. In verses 3 and 4, he does share how he ministered to them. But then in verse 5, it shows how really they were ministering to him. And he shows this as a mutual relationship that we have, that he had with the church and that we would have one with another. And I like in the very beginning when he talks about this fellowship, it's really personal, isn't it? The thanksgiving and prayer are always directed to God, but it's personally, because he doesn't just say God, but he says my God, right? And I think that helps unite us as believers, as we're looking at this. But he goes on and lists out four elements in this practice of prayer, again, for alliterative sake and to keep it sort of honed in, four little areas that I saw. Persistence was the first one. He says that in terms of all, always, every, all. There's a frequency of this petition. There's a continual and constant. He is continually and constant in the comprehensive in this prayer. It's over and over and over again. He goes on and on. Walter Hansen has, in his Pillar New Testament series, he says it this way. I liked it, the way he phrased it. Like a steady drumbeat, the steady repetition of all keeps reminding the reader that his love is not selective. He embraced all. And I think that's where we expand it. Not only was he persistent, but in terms of the participants, this was a letter to all. And we know from the context of the letter is that there's actually a fight going on at Philippi, right? We have two women that are in disagreement. And it could have been that that this disagreement would have been something that would have caused him pain, and he might have thought, well, you know, I'm kind of happy with most of you, but there's a couple of you that just this is for all of you. In terms of his petitions, you know, he has very specific needs, and then the last one is that he does so with joy. That's a pleasure for him, is to bring his prayers before the Lord. Again, Walter Hansen, he said it this way. He said, Paul's habit of praying for his friends discloses important dimensions of his spirituality. Every remembrance of his friends moves him to pray urgently for their needs. Every urgent request for them includes giving thanks to God for them. Giving thanks to God for his friends fills his heart with joy. Here we see a chain reaction in Paul's spirituality. Memory of friends leads immediately to urgent requests for their needs. These petitions prompt him to give thanks to God for his friends. Thanksgiving to God lifts them to express joyful praise to God. I thought that was a wonderful summary of really how prayer and thanksgiving can go hand in hand and sort of how it comes along. But, of course, it didn't end with just Paul ministering to the church, but the church ministered to him. In verse 5, it says that. And I think that when we are thinking about it in our role and our responsibility, it's good for us to be thinking about how others, that we minister to others. But in the light of that ministry, how is it that we are also being ministered to? Even the difficult times, right? We can have a perspective of sort of options of how we look at circumstances and situations. You know, do we look at it and be like, what the heck are you doing, Lord? Why is this going on? Woe is me, Eeyore-ish. Or do we turn it around and say, you know, what is God trying to teach me through this? And I think if we have the perspective of what's God trying to teach me through this situation, it's a lot easier for us to go through that. It's a lot easier for us to carry on, and it's a lot easier for us then to give praise to God for any and every circumstance. There's so much more. I don't know if you have the same problem that I have. I have too many notes and not enough time. Is that ever an issue for any of you? But we'll go on. I think one of the other things is he talks about this ministry that they have to him, and he says that it's a ministry in the gospel. Now that's what connected to them in the first place. And so it's really an established partnership that they now have, but it goes on because he says from the first day until now, so it's a continual one. It's one that it's continuing on. This is a relationship that's real and genuine, and it's not just a one-time affair, but it keeps going. Well, let's move on then to the faithfulness in the gospel, because Paul, when he expresses this joy for the partnership, he then speaks of their relationship with a confidence, because he says, I am sure. So he's confident of God working in their midst. And then he also knows that it's going to continue on. That's the idea of faithfulness, that he who began the work is going to carry it on. So it's going to be a continuing one. And then obviously he carries it on until the day of Christ. And this is a term used by Paul some 20 times in the New Testament. And my understanding is he uses this phrase to settle the assurance issue by confirming the outcome is guaranteed. So by adding the day of Christ, this idea is that he's issuing it as something you can be very sure and certain of. There's much more we could look at. I think, though, if we're looking at this idea of friendship in the gospel, he talks about, I feel this way about you. He uses very emotional terms in my heart, the splanchna, the inner bowels, the organs, which were the seat of emotions. Talks about this tender affection that he has. We'd almost say like gut feelings that we have. That partakers with me of grace. You know, what a great way of looking at that partnership that they have, a deep personal experience of grace that he knew, Paul knew, and the Philippians knew. This idea that God is my witness, he shows this to show the passion of his truthfulness. And then the last part there, that I yearn for you. I mean, that's a deep longing that he has for these Philippians brothers and sisters. And then the last one here, as we're looking at the fearlessness, he's talking about this idea of imprisonment. He's in chains for Christ, and yet he's unafraid. He's unafraid in that area. I think the opening of Philippians is one that is that can give us great joy and great comfort as we're looking to our role in this world, as we're looking to how we react and act in this world as ones who, by God's grace, have been transformed. I don't know if you keep a list of questions that you want to ask God when you finally get there. One of mine is, you know, why would you choose to use broken, sinful, fallen people to share the message of hope to other broken, sinful, fallen people? I mean, it just seems like it's not the greatest method. It's because I know myself and I know my weakness. And yet, what a great joy that we have, that we are the ones. You know, we are made in his image. We're his image bearers. But as believers in Christ, we're his message bearers. And so we carry that message of grace to the world. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. I love Thanksgiving. And I think before I was a Christian, Thanksgiving was always my favorite holiday. But in faith now, in Christ now, looking at Thanksgiving has greater meaning to me. And so it was a privilege and opportunity to be able to share with you just a couple things gleaning that I had from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. You want me to close out, and then we'll hand it back over, sing one more song. Thank you. Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. We come before you with praise. And how we praise you for your amazing transformation of those who are sinners and broken and fallen. And we know that transformation personally, and so we give you thanks. Father, as well, we give thanks for this campus. We thank you for RTS DC. We thank you for the staff and leadership and professors and all those who put the many hours into each day that this campus is open. Father, we thank you for students that you have brought from many different backgrounds, many different opportunities to learn from you and learn from your word and be prepared for the opportunity before us. Father, we look to the future not with an extreme self-confidence of what we want to accomplish, but with a willingness to serve you wherever you take us, whatever path is before us. And we pray, Lord, that the words that we are reminded of here by Paul in terms of a life of thanksgiving and a life that deeply cares for others would be one that we model to a world that is in desperate need of the hope of the gospel. For it's in your name we ask all this. Amen.